And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 30 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me today is Lawrence. Lawrence, how are you, man?
Fan-friggin-tastic.
So we had to start this show off once again burying the company.
I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah, well, the word went around late last week. And it looks like it's been confirmed now, as of this episode, that AEW are going to start running shows live at Daly's Place in Florida. They're going back to Jacksonville. I think this is partially a combination of, I think the state is going to be opening up, which is a horrifically bad idea in of itself, but I think they're using the WWE bribery loophole here to run live shows in Jacksonville. Now, I don't think that they're going to have an audience still. I think there's still going to be empty arena shows. But, you know, considering that they already had said that they had taped material up that would be able to fill up till Double or Nothing. The fact that they're going to live shows again, like three weeks earlier than what they had originally said at that. Especially since, you know, shit's still going on, guys. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like this. It's not like COVID-19's gone away. And we're all magically okay now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is some straight bullshit, honestly. And, it's bad enough that I think Indiana is going to be opening up again on Friday, too. I think they're making that a game time decision, according to the last things I read. And now here in Illinois, We've had, you know, one, you know, dumb fuck Republican from Southern Illinois win an injunction against the governor, and so the lockdown is nullified for him. But now some other schmuck is filing a second suit to try to, you know, saying that, you know, the governor's overstepped his boundaries and, you know, the extension of the stay at home order is unconstitutional. So this is the shit we're up against, and, you know, the fact that AEW is buying into this shit, but also, you know, giving lip service to, you know, well, we appreciate, you know, everyone who's staying at home and watching us and you know, stay safe and be careful out there, and yet here we're still going to run live shows, though.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah, they've lost their mind. I'm just going to reiterate again: New Japan Pro Wrestling has not run a show since February the 26th.
Right.
You know, All Japan finally canceled shows. I saw that earlier this week. Finally canceled shows. When did Stardom? I think Stardom was the first one to cancel shows, weren't they?
Yeah. Great Kojika has actually come out and said that if this continues for another 6 months, that New Japan might be the only one left standing in Japan.
Yeah. Well. I believe it.
Which is a scary thought in my mind.
Well, it is, and I don't disagree with that one bit. But
so.
I mean, there's no question New Japan has the resources to survive this.
Right.
Yeah, unlike, well, anyone else, except maybe DDT. I mean, they have that Abima money.
Yeah, they're They're probably the only other one that would be able to. Excuse me, I apologize. My yawning. They're probably the only other one I think that would have a standing chance there, but a standing
Maybe
chance.
Noah? I thought
Well,
Noah
I mean,
has.
they're part of that umbrella now,
Yeah.
that cyber agent umbrella. So yeah, I mean, they probably would be like, part of that. But yeah, besides that,
Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, and I get it. I mean, it's scary out there right now in the wrestling landscape with companies. I mean, it wasn't Game Changer. They're at risk right now. I know that. So, but at the same time, let's not rush into a situation and make it potentially worse,
Oh no. I mean, there's just not a lot of good solutions here.
Oh, I agree. It's the proverbial rock and hard place here,
Yeah.
but let's err on the side of maybe not let's have cast, crew, and crowd get sick and die and et cetera, et cetera. So, AEW, I urge you to reconsider. You're not going to, but I'm just gonna make it no. And like the good schmucks we are, we're still gonna watch it. So, I mean, maybe it's partially our fault too. But we can, there's a difference between watching a TV show and wanting, the people involved in making it, getting catastrophically ill too. But that's our burial of the company. So yeah, AEW, you ain't doing the right thing here. But with that being said, we move on to episode 30 of AEW Dynamite, pre-taped. Apparently the last pre-taped stuff from the Nightmare Factory. And we open up with a video promo for Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin, going through their history, their sordid history since the company started, since Fighter Fest. In the Shock 30-minute time limit draw from that show. But after that, we move on and we have our announcers, Tony Schiavone and Chris Jericho. And we move right into the first match of the evening. Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin, semifinal match for the TNT Championship. Go ahead. You sound like you're about to say something.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. I thought you were taking a breath as if you were going to say something. But can we just
No,
say?
I'm attempting to remember what it's like to breathe without a mask on.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Well, considering you're on the front lines, yeah, I can understand. But can we just talk about how very early into the match and Cody Rhodes intentionally throws Darby Allin into his wife?
Yeah, that was certainly an interesting tactic.
Yeah. Can I ask once again, how are the Elite the baby faces in this company?
I just that was a I don't know. I don't
I
even know
mean,
anymore.
yeah.
I've stopped trying to make sense of anything they do, so.
I will give credit for this. Excellent work on the knee by Darby Allin. Like he kept going for it.
It was pretty neat. I man, that was submission hold he pulled out there was something, huh?
He's been pulling out these wild ass submissions the last few weeks.
That was some shit, man. Darby just like he just continuously gets better. It seems like every single week, like he just it's like he adds like something a little new like every week. It feels like
Oh
he.
yeah.
It's like the guy just continues to get better and better. Every time you see him, almost it's he's just got a knack for this, and he's just a natural, naturally bred and born for this.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, you're right. Every week he does something new and unexpected.
Yeah, he's just constantly evolving and growing as a performer. It's
Yeah. And the best part is they add to the match is the best part.
right. He's a not even a finished product yet, and it's like it's just the see him continuously make improvements like that. It's very, very telling for his future for sure. So I think it's a very, very good sign of things to come for him.
Now, I originally wrote this note down because I was going to bury Jericho a little bit for once again, we have a riff on Great Muta, and later on, he riffs Kenta Kobashi as well. But I will give credit for this. One thing that strikes me about Jericho's commentary is that you notice how he puts the guys over, even the ones he says he hates and thinks are idiots. He puts
Right.
them over. Very, very old school of him.
Yes, and that's the thing. Like that is the one. This is a big thing, big difference with a guy like Jericho and some of these tryhards that try to do this bullshit nowadays. The thing with Jericho is that he makes the guy look good in the process of making fun of him and or like saying something about him. There's a way you can make your opponent not look like complete dog shit, but still act like a villainous person.
Oh yeah, I mean it's very Ric Flair-like in his delivery of that.
Right. And I wish more of these younger guys that try to be heels and stuff, they would just realize that, because you're just making the other guy look like a schmuck when you beat him. Because all you did was bury the guy.
Yeah, well that's the legacy of Dwayne Johnson. That
Oh, yeah.
is the rock style
Oh,
heel
yeah.
work. You
No.
know, it is. You know, he never put anybody over, in his promos. That is, I'm not saying in matches. I'm saying in promos, he never put anybody over. You know.
I think the thing, the difference is that Dwayne Johnson had about 1,000 times more charisma than a lot of these guys do, and he could get away with doing something like that a little more than and
Well, right, but you understand the whole influence thing.
oh,
Yeah.
but yes, 100%. No, I 100% agree. He was definitely a big time influencer of that that type of deal, I think. And so I think it's just that I don't know, it's just like we're kind of like going real off tangent now, but
We
no,
kind of are, but it's okay.
but no, I feel like that's a very good point that you make there, because I was actually, it was funny because I laughed, I said the same thing to myself. I'm like, Jericho remembers to at least put the guy over while he's burying him.
Right, exactly. And in fact, he nearly came around on Darby Allin towards the end of the match. He was even saying
Right.
he legit wants Darby Allin to win. You know,
Yeah, so that's exactly what I 100%
it's
agree
like
with you.
the only one he was truly burying was like Sugar Dunkerton. You know, the
Oh.
pineapple kill Pineapple Pete. You know, he's sick of him, but. Anyway, back to the match itself. We go to the outside. Britt Baker hits Cody.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was a thing that happened. I don't know why it happened, but it happened.
You know what? I actually didn't mind
I
it.
thought it was kind of funny. She just took her fucking sandal off and just hit him
Just
with it. And I'm like,
whacked
all
him.
right, like I don't know why that happened,
Yeah.
but okay.
And then we also have dueling other guys' finishers.
Yeah. That's some like early 2000s WWF shit right
Oh yeah.
there.
Darby hits a crossroads. It doesn't work. Cody does a coffin drop. It
And
doesn't
he
work.
gets, but then we get Darby doing the coffin drop, and he hits it, but then he like falls over onto his shoulders, and then like Cody sort of rolls over, and
Yeah.
they count the three. What the fuck was that finish?
Oh my God. That
Oh my God.
I mean, we already knew Cody Rhodes was going to win this match anyway.
What an awful fucking god awful finish this was. Oh my god. I mean, that just makes both guys look just like complete buffoons.
Yeah, the match was great, but god, that end, I hated that ending.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was satisfied with that. I saw a lot of people on Twitter were just like hand waving that. It's just a complete farce of a finish.
Yeah, but executive vice presidents. So, yeah. So there we have it. So Cody Rhodes marches
I get
on
what they
to
were,
the final.
I get what they were trying to do, but it was horribly done.
I totally agree. I mean, it was actually the worst thing was it was confusing.
Right. Yeah.
It was a confusing finish. You know,
it didn't look like it was like almost like okay, wait, what? Like he that was a pin? Like okay.
that was nothing. So the great match, but the finish sucked. And it was confusing, which is the worst part.
Yep.
So Cody Rhodes marches on to the finals of the TNT Championship. Well, he will meet either the guy who's been incessantly calling him out for weeks or his brother. I wonder. We then go to get part two of the Scorpio Sky retrospective video, which was okay. It was what it was.
I completely tuned out during this, but so I didn't really pay attention at all. So I had nothing to add about this.
And then we get another injury update promo from Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Oh, brother.
And I did notice the Max's Rats estate.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's really just trying very, very hard now.
He's a very hard trying try hard.
Oh, man, these promos are getting like almost like 03 like Triple H bad now, dude.
Holy shit, man, I'm
sorry. I mean, like, he's just rambling on about just, like, I don't even know what he's rambling on about at this point. Like, for about, it seems like 10 minutes. I know it's not, like, that long, but it feels like it. It's just like, oh, my God. Like, what is even the point? Like, yeah, we get it. You're coming back from injury. All right. Like,
did he have a legit injury?
Dude, I don't even fucking know at this point. I don't care.
Say, and do we care?
I don't even give a shit.
Christ.
Oh my god. It was like, ugh. It's just enough already. Enough. Just come back and, oh my goodness. That's bad. We've approached that territory. Yep. We've approached Evolution. In Triple H territory.
I was out of wrestling by then during that year. Well, out of American wrestling, I should say.
Thank your fucking lucky star.
I was still watching. I was still watching pro wrestling during that time. So, because it's amazing what an amazing GHC run Kobashi was having and kept my interest up. You know.
You don't want to watch Triple H pose downs with Scott Steiner.
Moving on to the second match, in which Wardlow completely buries a wrestler named Musa, who I was not familiar with. They say he was from Chicago. Not familiar. But, you know, Chicago's a big city. I miss going into it every day. I can't do that now. I'm working from home. So it was a squash. It was a glorious squash. And I saw somebody, at least one person, make a tweet parodying the Joey Ryan tweet.
Oh, my God. What a clown.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. I'm not even going to glorify that guy with a freaking response of on this show.
I mean, it's cool. He could bury Vader all he wants. We just praise Vader to high heaven on episode 2 of that Strong Style History retrospective.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. And I do love the fact that the guy in the clip Actually, to Joey Ryan, say, hey, yeah, I was the guy in the clip. Yeah, Vader took absolutely no liberties with me whatsoever, and...
Like, you're a schmuck. Like, go away, please.
You're a dork, and you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God.
What does... Is Joey Ryan aware of what the young lions and the young boys and the young girls, for that matter, and Joshi, what they have to go through? Is he aware of this?
I don't even try to analyze anything that guy says.
Also, remember when he thought he was getting signed to either WWE or AEW, either one?
That was rich.
Yeah. Well.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, Wardlow here was I don't know. This was not as good of a squash as I thought he had last week. I think Musa got a little more offense in here than
but only slightly.
I don't know. It was okay. Nothing really special here. I do really like Wardlow's like knee from the fallen knee. I don't even know how I would explain it. Where he drops his opponent from the top rope onto his knee is like it's
yes,
pretty sick.
Yes.
That's a pretty gnarly ass
move.
That's
a good move. That is a good move.
Yeah, that's definitely a moneymaker right there for him. Yeah. I really, really like that. I think that's very like neat. I've never seen anybody do that before. Him doing it. So I really like that.
Oh yeah. So moving on, we get the third Bubbly Bunch segment, and I thought this was going to be stupid, and you know what? It was stupid, but it was also genuinely funny at the same time.
The collection of people in this was one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen.
Lou Ferrigno.
Who would have thought we would have seen Dr. Luther and Lou Ferrigno in the same segment? Like,
not to mention Kevin Smith.
And Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes in the
Jesus
same,
Christ.
In the same like span of like 2 minutes. So that is the thing that happened. Lou Ferrigno appeared on our television sets and amongst other very interesting cameos.
Yeah. So I thought I was gonna be stupid. And I was right, but it was also fucking hilarious. So, you know, I'll big up this this episode of the Bubbly Bunch. That was pretty good. Speaking of things I thought were going to be stupid and actually ended up being really fun. Our third match, in which best friends Dustin and Greg, Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta take on Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. This was a fun garbage match.
Thank God this was like full of a plunder match, because I think this lets Havoc at least maximize his like whatever he has.
his whatever.
At least kind of makes him somewhat enjoyable. I just him taking like these stupid ass bumps onto like the backs of chairs and
oh,
shit.
Oh Jesus! The legs of chairs.
Yeah, legs of chairs.
Oh Jesus!
But dear God, I mean, dude. Sorry, but Kip Sabian is just so bad. I mean, he is just awful. Like his offense just looks like the. Everything, nothing he does looks like good, or it looks like it hurts at all.
Yeah. On that note, when we get the dueling throwing chairs, let's face it, Orange Cassidy took that one square. I mean,
yeah,
and then Jimmy Havoc, you know, it was the chair that Orange Cassidy threw was a lot weaker, and Jimmy Havoc tries to sell it, and it just didn't look right. But I mean, Orange Cassidy, my God, he took that one.
Yeah, yep. Orange Cassidy again, just like, you know, stealing the show once again.
Mm-hmm.
and Yeah, no, the guys worked hard. I mean, I gotta say, I mean, they took some fucking punishment in this match. I mean, it's just
Yes,
the
they did.
bumps off the ladder. I mean, Chuck almost like flat out broke the ladder at one point. Like he like got slingshotted into the freaking ladder in the corner, and like the thing like bent, but it like it didn't break. It was really weird, and I
And
was like, whoa.
the fact that they were doing this in front of like a basically empty studio too.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that this ended up turning out pretty decent. I mean,
You know,
considering.
honestly, this is what I would have wanted that Moxley versus Jake Hager match to be. Just a
Right.
complete
Plunder fest.
plunder
Yeah.
fest. Yeah, that's a good word.
Penelope was once again, she again was her star was shined pretty brightly
Oh
here.
yeah, I love that interaction between her and Orange Cassidy too.
Yeah, I think she's like the freaking most popular one of all those three. Like,
Oh, by far.
I think like people are staying for her or not for the other two. Like,
Oh yeah,
oh my God,
the other two can eat it, but yeah.
oh
I mean,
God.
again, I don't hate Kip Sabian. I mean, he's just kind of whatever to me. But yeah. But either way, it was a but this was a good, fun, hardcore, plunder match, and it was fun, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We follow this up with a Britt Baker video segment in which her makeup person tries to bury her a little bit.
Oh. Yeah,
So
this was interesting.
yeah, this was, and then it moves on to the real segment in which Britt Baker completely buries Tony Schiavone. Good Lord,
Oh my God, poor Tony.
the punishment Tony Schiavone takes after all these years.
God, Jesus, leave the man alone for
Yeah,
God's
has
sakes.
he had enough?
Oh my God.
Haven't we had enough with match four, Shawn Spears versus Barrett Black? Yeah, I tuned out for
Hey,
that one.
Baron Black. I haven't seen him in a while.
I tuned out for that one. Sorry. Sorry,
Yeah,
not sorry.
it was a match.
Yeah, it certainly was.
It was a match. That's pretty much all I can give you there. It happened. I don't remember much from it, and it was short.
And it had Shawn Spears, and that's all you really need to know.
And you won again, so.
We come back from commercial, and we get a segment of Taz analyzing the blackout by Lance Archer's blackout move. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I just missed Taz dominating everything in '97 ECW, you know?
Oh yeah.
Oh boy, those were the days. But anyway, we get our next match. We could have had a very ECW like moment in this match, but we did not. Brody Lee versus Marco Stunt.
Oh yeah. This poor Marco, man.
I mean,
Getting fed to the Giants.
he's earning his lumps, I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah.
And I tell you, he's gonna get his little Spike Dudley moment any day now.
Oh yeah. No, he will.
And
He will.
I'll be glad for him when he does, because I mean that's what it's all building to, and we all know it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, idiots on the internet don't see that, and this has happened before, it all happened again,
Dude, it's WWE, man. They've fucking poisoned everybody's goddamn brains. Like the 50-50 fucking booking. That's the problem with that company is they made it feel like everyone's got to be like on the same fucking level playing field every time, and they've poisoned people to think that, and so now it's like people are almost like brainwashed to the fact it's like. Hey, some guys gotta look more dominant, and some guys gotta like, they're smaller. They're gonna get thrown around by a bigger guy.
Remember when? Yeah, I mean, remember when it was like getting a win against somebody was something you actually did have to earn. It was like,
Right.
how huge was it when somebody finally beat Misawa? You know,
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
how great was it
Or
when?
in turn, when Misawa beat Jumbo.
Oh, right. Well, exactly.
Exactly. It's like, it's stuff like that. It's got to, I feel like it's just not, you don't get that as much anymore.
When Will Ospreay finally beat Kushida after five attempts, it felt massive, didn't it? Say, just as a recent example, But, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, long story short, people need to lay off of Marco Stunt. He's doing just fine in the role he's supposed to do, and he's going to get his big win against a giant eventually. You know he is.
Right. Oh, it's yeah,
Or
absolutely.
alternatively, we're going to get a hoss fight between Luchasaurus and Brody Lee any day now.
Oh,
And I will be ready for
please,
this.
please, please, I'm begging you to all the gods that listen, please let this happen. Oh my God.
And then it'll move on to Luchasaurus versus Lance Archer in a colored braid versus colored braid match.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, first one the one who loses has to cut off their colored braids.
Well, boy, that freaking Brody Lee giving Marco the freaking black hole slam off of the freaking top when Marco came off the top rope. He caught him in midair and just
Oh yeah.
hit him with a freaking spin out black hole slam. Was just like, oh my God. He just absolutely floored him with that. That was impressive. I thought that was like just
And
and
it was good fun to watch, so.
yeah.
Next up, we get a pre-taped promo from Jon Moxley out in the desert somewhere with a wall of graffiti. And he could pretty much confirms that yes, we're going to be getting live episodes starting next week, which, Jesus. Why? But
Moxley told us to call our grandmothers, to make sure we call our grandmothers. So
I mean, that's cool.
I'm definitely gonna make sure I do that.
Yeah, do that. All of mine are dead and have been for years, so
Yeah.
but
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could always just like, call somebody else. I mean.
I could. Maybe I'll call your grandmother. There we
Oh,
go.
that would be kind of funny, actually. I don't know how I'd explain that one.
You don't know me, but
Oh
alrighty. And
God.
then our main event of the evening, the second semifinal for the TNT Championship, Dustin Rhodes versus Lance Archer. I was gonna put it out there. Yeah, we already knew who was winning this from the very moment. For basically, since the match was made.
Yeah, it was pretty clear.
Yeah. That said, the match pretty good. I didn't mind
Damn,
it.
freaking Dustin bleeding like a freaking stuck pig again.
Yeah, at one point he had more blood on the right side of his face than he did on the left side, and the left side is the one that he paints. But yeah, I mean, again, it was a good match. It was very well wrestled, but it had no drama to it because we knew who was winning from the get-go.
Yeah.
We knew who was winning.
Yeah. But then it got kind of ridiculous. So Cody got out there with a stupid towel, and it's just like, God damn it, we already just did this fucking towel gimmick. Like,
And all out. Oh,
excuse me.
good Lord. The night. No, not all out. At Full Gear. I'm sorry. It was at Full
Right.
Gear. And
Yeah.
well, and not to mention 2017 New Japan too.
Right.
We were there for one of those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why Cody Rhodes keeps going back to the throwing in the towel shtick.
Oh man, it's like he is. I feel like he just like goes to the same well like, on certain things like a lot.
I mean, did Bill Watts or even his daddy book towels being thrown in something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Seriously, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But that being said, Lance Archer beats Dustin Rhodes with the EBD claw at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a breakout, bust out the old Iron Claw from Texas. I like that
he just slammed his freaking head into the ground repeatedly while doing it. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, that was nice. That was pretty good. With that, Lance Archer advances to the finals of the TNT Championship, which will happen in 3 weeks at Double or Nothing. So we have at least 3 more TV episodes of this shit. And with that, that wraps up episode 30 of AEW Dynamite. Lawrence, your pros and cons.
Pros. Yeah, I mean, Darby, seems, like I said, he seems to just be getting better each and every week. Had a pretty darn good match with Cody here, save for that awful looking finish. I mean, let me see. I guess the Britt Baker thing was pretty funny. I mean, like, I think she's like kind of improved her image since the show has started. And then, you know, thus the, you know, best friends, really had a pretty darn good performance with two guys that are just clearly underneath them in terms of entertainment value. So that's a pretty good positive.
All right. What are some of your cons?
You know, well, yeah, like I said, probably this is the one most egregious one is just that awful Cody and Darby finish. It just didn't do anything for either guy. Besides that, I don't have a lot. I mean, this wasn't like there wasn't anything like overwhelmingly like egregiously bad in this episode. Maybe save for this whole live show stuff, but
yeah, that's a pretty major con for me, honestly.
Yeah.
My pros and cons, of course, Darby Allin, fantastic. I mean, yeah, that match was so good up until the ending.
Yeah,
and the ending kind of ruined the match. The Britt Baker segment, that kind of made me, and her whacking Cody with a shoe, that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of popped me a little bit. I really enjoyed Best Friends versus Kip Sabian, Jimmy Havoc, and I pretty well enjoyed Brody Lee versus Marco Stunt, too. The cons, let's forget one of the pros, the way that Jericho so builds people up on commentary, even when he's trying to bury him.
Yep,
it's very well done. I think he really is a good commentator. He needs to come up with a few more creative insults, but calling everybody a stupid idiot after a while it gets a little samey. The cons. Going back to the live shows, Jesus Christ, fuck that. Sean Spears is kind of, he's not even a con at this point. He's whatever.
He just shows up and is on your television.
The MJF stuff, shtick, Jesus Christ.
That's it. That was like another con. Okay. I totally blanked that out of my brain.
And yeah, that's about it. Hang on a second. Okay, so we may have a special guest here.
Oh yeah, I just saw the possible run-in.
Hold on, we're gonna see if we can get this connected here. I don't know if this is gonna throw you off, Lawrence, but hang on.
Oh no, this is very important.
Hang on, we gotta try to get everybody on here. So let's see if this will work. Special guest. Late arrival, Chris Damasceno. Chris, how are you?
Hey, good guys. Been in the process of helping family move, which is why I've been absent for an episode and three quarters of it, is what I'm guessing. Episode and a half, something like
More like
that.
7/8.
Yeah,
Wow.
there
We
we go.
just wrapped up, so.
Oh, well, go figure, right?
But the reason why you're here, of course, is we are finally getting our long promised, long
Yes,
awaited
indeed.
review of a little bit of the bubbly. So,
Indeed.
noted booze enthusiast Chris Damasceno, take it away.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, the package came in during the course of last week, a little bit after the episode was recorded. Pictures were posted accordingly in regards to it, and I did finally get to try it out on Saturday. It's a very nice sparkling wine, to say the least. Passes in terms of taste, it feels pretty much kind of like your typical sparkling wines, but it goes down pretty smoothly. A bit of a drier taste there at the end as well. And for like $23 per bottle, it's not bad. The guys at Knocking Point actually did a really good job with it.
You keep
I
saying
will say this.
sparkling wine. Is it not actual champagne?
No, it's not actual champagne. It's more like a fog.
Oh,
It
damn.
is very much bubbly, but it's not
Oh,
champagne. No, but then again,
wow.
given the fact that it
What a
was for
swerve.
Knocking Point, which is a wine company, I kind of figured that going into it, that I'm just like, they don't do champagne. There's no way this is going to be champagne. But I mean, for what they did with it, they did pretty good. Pleasantly surprised by it, and I'm gonna say this though, boys, like, I still have the second bottle left over, and I gotta say, I'm gonna probably pull out some good old fashioned orange juice sometime over the weekend and make some mimosas out of this, because this very much feels like a mimosa-esque, like the right kind of thing to do. So,
So you're not gonna tell us what any notes or hints of anything on this wine or
I'm not, I'm unfortunately not, kind of, what is it that's the name of the position for people who are super pretentious and go to wine school? I guess they get certifications for this stuff. Unfortunately, that ain't me. So,
not a professional wine taster, Chris.
no,
Yeah,
not by any means. I just drink this shit.
not a wine connoisseur. You
It's
don't know what the mouthfeel is.
no, but I will say this.
You don't know what it'll pair with, what candy or fruit it pairs with.
No. I believe somebody out there did write a description of it saying something along the lines of pretty smooth with a dry finish and notes of minerality from Washington soil. Does that sound pretentious enough? No.
Oh, that's.
Oh my God.
Yo, yeah, these guys are crazy.
This is why I drink beer.
Oh, don't worry. Those guys are bad too.
Yeah, they are. It's true.
The pretentiousness in liquor drinking happens in all walks of life, but if you decide that you want to take the plunge, try it out, order it from Knocking Point's website. I definitely have had a blast drinking it throughout last Saturday night, so it would have been nice to have, the homies to, be there and share it with, but I'll
Did
make
you
do so in the meantime.
finish the bottle on Saturday?
Yes, I did.
Did you share it with anyone?
I offered some to my mom. She was like, "No, I'm okay, but thank you." So,
Yeah, Chris got white girl wasted on the sparkling wine.
Oh, wow.
I did
Damn.
the no no I did not eat prior to it either. So, Lars is 100% right about this.
Oh my God.
It was a good bonus, to say the least.
Any quick thoughts about Dynamite resuming live shows next week?
Fuck this. Come on.
Eloquently put there, Chris.
Like, pirate, go to time.tv or whatever the fuck to stream it at this point. I don't even care anymore. Just like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, come
Damn.
on now. Like, with everything that's been going on, and you're just going to go, well, okay, I guess if WWE got the nod to start doing their shows again, I guess we can do it too. Like, go to hell, Tony Khan.
Well, keep in
Seriously.
mind. Well, I mean, at the same time, I mean, it's not just them. I think that the entire state of Florida is opening up on Friday. Like, I think,
Yeah.
yeah. So it's Florida that's the problem
But
here.
Yeah, but then again, given all the Florida memes that we have made in the past and that are rampant throughout the internet, it's just going to like go into overtime at this point once this happens and their cases start spiking up because guess what? Your viruses and such, especially ones that don't have a vaccine for it, is sort of...
Yeah, well, we...
But here's what I'll say, just to go back to a little bit of the bubbly thing. For years, Jericho has been calling us Jericho-holics in this arena and the like. The fact that it took him 20 plus years to finally have an actual Jericho Hall to finally do that with is long overdue. you know, I can officially say that I am a Jericho-holic now, literally and figuratively. So.
Oh, geez. So you already ordering more cases
no,
of this?
No. I can wait on that a while. I'll probably wait until something closer to like New Year's or something later on in the year and just do it for that because it seems like the right time.
All righty. Well, next week we apparently are going to be live at Daly's place again, and we've already got some matches announced. John Moxley against Frankie Kazarian, a street fight between Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy versus Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. MJF is supposed to return, yippee-ki-yay. Yeah.
Here's hoping Britt Baker hits somebody with his shoe again. It is the deadliest weapon in WCW canon. You might as well get
That's true.
All the use possible out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. All right, plugs, Chris.
For me, Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at Brazilian Fury, Brazilian with an S instead of a Z. You can also find my other podcast, Soundtracks on the Sticks. That's Sounds on Sticks on Twitter. We're over on the Night of the Living Geeks podcast network. Jordan and I should be recording a new episode sometime over the next couple of days here. We decided finally we're going to be doing Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Which we've been excited about that one,
ooh.
So long overdue.
Not at all influenced by the certain Netflix show.
I mean, yeah, the Netflix show has been there, definitely, but I mean, it's the first Metroidvania of its kind there, and it sort of gave the series kind of a big shot in the arm for many, sequential stories within its canonical franchise that we eventually saw being in handhelds or Lords of Shadow and, you know, things like that.
Right. So, all right, we'll look forward to that. Lawrence.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at LOB_3. And I think Isaac and Jamil and I have come up with an idea to do something that it's going to be pretty hilarious slash interesting slash may get Yakuza to kill us.
Oh shit.
basically, folks, if you have stimulus money left and you see it within your hearts, please donate it over to LOB_3 because they might need the protection money from Yakuza.
Oh no.
We plan on doing Dark Side of the Ring a style podcast on Japanese wrestling topics, Japanese indies slash who may not be in the Yakuza. So it's gonna be great. No, never.
Yeah, absolutely.
Him?
No. It's like hey, it's like hello there, pro wrestling. No.
Wait, hold on, we don't talk about that. Anyway,
I think as long as you don't touch pride, it'll be fine.
Well, I already kind of did we already kind of gave away a Dark Side of the Ring type thing on the last Strong Style History retrospect. Talked about the death of Hiromitsu Gampei.
Yeah, actually, two things technically. If you want to count Hiroshi Hase being a sex pest,
Jesus Christ! Let's not go over that again. On that note, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style. My personal Twitter at GD Wessel, and Busting balls, yeah. There's still no football. In fact, Ligue 1 has now said that they are not coming back. That's the French league. So,
yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, I don't know when the next time we're going to do a Busting Balls episode is, to be quite frank. But we're going to try this weekend to do another Strong Solid History NJPW World special. And I have yet to start watching the four matches that we picked. And Chris, I don't even think I gave you the list. So
I don't think I have the list yet. But if you want to send it over, by all means, for the most part.
Yep, I'll get that over to you in a little bit. So anyway, yeah. Anyway, check out, you know, all the other fine shows here on Pro Wrestling Only. Our good friends at Days of Thunder just dropped their Pick Your Poison with JamesE_2015, because I don't know his real name, and they're going over Ric Flair matches, and it's quite good. And, you know, of course, the WorldCast is back. Kelly Nelson also doing International House of Combat, which is a pretty fun show. And then there's Who's Next? The Goldberg retrospective. The match-by-match Goldberg retrospective.
So,
Ed, they just did the Renegade episode about 2 days ago or so. So, yeah, God bless these guys for putting themselves through the ringer on that. Because there's going to be a lot of matches in that regard, put that straight. So something to consider there.
All right. Well, either of you have any final words?
I have no final words.
None.
All right. Well, I guess we will we'll see you for Boom Goes the Dynamite next week when they're recording live for some stupid fucking reason. So we'll see you next week. Take care.